Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. The vaccinations around the clock in this country. And the debate tonight across the nation. Americans exhausted, ready for some sort of normalcy. Some states opening slowly, others opening all at once. Tonight, Arizona's governor now issuing an executive order allowing businesses back to full capacity, following Texas and Mississippi. California, just tonight, with a slower approach, announcing theme parks will open at 15%, Major League Baseball stadiums at 20%. And then masks. 16 states with either no mask mandate or plans to lift them. But tonight, the CDC urging caution, saying the masks are helping with the drop in COVID cases and deaths. And the images from across the country tonight, look at this. The home of the Indy 500, now a mass vaccination site. Nearly 17,000 appointments this weekend. The debate at this hour in the Senate on President Biden's COVID relief bill. The status tonight of those $1,400 checks and unemployment benefits. Rachel Scott, live on the Hill. At this hour, news on New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, what some state lawmakers are moving to do, and one of the women accusing him of misconduct. The investigation into the attack on the Capitol, and tonight news of an arrest. A former Trump appointee at the State Department now accused of attacking police officers on that day. U.S. forces in Iraq, that attack on a base with American forces, and tonight our Martha Raddatz, one-on-one with Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, asking what kind of response Americans can expect. Meantime, Pope Francis in Iraq tonight, moving forward with his historic trip. Amid these tensions, the unprecedented security for the Pope, and Ian Pannell tonight from Iraq. Here at home, the scare in New York City amid this pandemic, the outdoor dining, and now the van and car colliding, careening into an outdoor dining area. Prince Harry and Meghan, the new clip tonight, and why Harry and Meghan had to turn down Oprah when she first asked to interview them. Their telling answer tonight. And history made in the NFL, the newest star tonight, and she is our person of the week.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here as we near the end of another week together, and we all feel it, the exhaustion and the hope that more normal times are just ahead of us. With vaccinations now ramping up, tens of thousands of appointments at mass vaccination sites this weekend alone. And now comes the debate tonight, how soon to reopen, how much to reopen at once, and the ongoing debate, of course, over masks. Texas, the first to move this week, and tonight Arizona is now allowing businesses to open at 100% capacity. And then a different approach, a slower one. We learned just before we came on the air tonight that California will now allow theme parks to reopen for the first time at 15% capacity, outdoor ballparks at 20%. And then masks. 16 states now with no statewide mask mandate or plans to lift them. But tonight, a new CDC report linking mask mandates to a decrease in COVID cases and deaths. They say the correlation could be seen just 20 days after mask mandates were put into place. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky warning about rollbacks that are too quick and taking off those masks, saying, quote, we have seen this movie before. And the welcome site tonight, the race to vaccinate those new sites opening all week long here. And tonight, these are images from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, making 17,000 appointments this weekend alone. And look at this number tonight, 55,496,000 people have received at least one shot now. That's nearly 22% of all adults. And the controversy over what the Detroit mayor said about the newest vaccine, the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine. We have it all covered here on a Friday night at ABC's Whit Johnson leading us off right here in New York.
Despite warnings from health officials, tonight the growing wave of reopenings across the country. Arizona, the latest to open businesses to full capacity. The state already among 16 that either have no statewide mask mandates or have just moved to lift them, like Mississippi and Texas. And tonight, the debate heating up on both sides. Shop owner Julie Roberts in Galveston ready for more customers.
Y'all are ready for spring break.
We are ready for spring break, yeah, for everybody to come in and shop.
But others arguing we're almost there. Why take the risk? Like Rosalie Anthony.
It's just not time yet. People need to get vaccinated more, I think, before it's time to really ease up on restrictions.
And then the efforts trying to meet in the middle. Starting April 1st, if cases are low enough, California will allow theme parks to reopen at 15% capacity and outdoor spectator sports like Major League Baseball at 20%. This after a new CDC report showing mask mandates were associated with a drop in COVID cases and deaths about 20 days later. The findings also linked restaurants with on-site dining to an increase in infections 6 weeks later and deaths 2 months later.
I know the idea of relaxing mask wearing and getting back to everyday activities is appealing, but we're not there yet. We have seen this movie before. When prevention measures like mask mandates are rolled back, cases go up.
In Detroit, controversy. The city turning down more than 6,000 doses of the Johnson & Johnson single-dose vaccine.
Johnson & Johnson is a very good vaccine. Moderna and Pfizer are the best. And I am going to do everything I can to make sure the residents of the city of Detroit get the best.
But today, Mayor Mike Duggan attempting to clarify, calling the J&J shot safe and effective, saying the city had enough capacity with the other vaccines and they will soon offer J&J at a different site. The White House COVID team stressing that all three authorized vaccines prevent hospitalizations and death.
I would take the first available vaccine because the most important thing to do is to get vaccinated and not to try and figure out what one may be or may not be better than the other.
That word from Dr. Fauci just today. Whit Johnson with us now from that mass vaccination site at Yankee Stadium. It's great to see all these vaccination sites up and running, Whit. And there was something else today. The FDA issuing that alert about those thermal scanners. We've all seen them now used at airports, offices, schools, restaurants to check your temperature, checking for fevers in this pandemic. What was the alert?
David, the FDA is warning that improper use of those thermal scanners could pose a potential danger to public health. They say it can be an effective tool, but in some cases, the scanners can give an inaccurate temperature reading for a variety of reasons. The FDA also says that the risk is more likely when the scanners are running multiple people through the system at the same time. David.
All right, Whit Johnson leading us off. Whit, we'll see you here at the desk tomorrow night. In the meantime, as Americans wait for vaccinations, the millions also waiting for economic help, and the debate underway tonight in the Senate over President Biden's plan that includes those $1,400 checks. And there is news tonight on the debate over unemployment benefits, how much and for how long. Rachel Scott with late reporting tonight from the Hill.
Tonight, President Joe Biden pushing lawmakers to get moving as the Senate wrangles over his $1.9 trillion COVID rescue plan.
At least 7 million kids don't have enough food to eat on a regular basis. 13 million people are behind in their rent. And the rescue plan is absolutely essential for turning this around.
The bill would provide billions to fight COVID, help small businesses, and send $1,400 direct payments to most Americans. This week, in a concession to moderate Democratic senators, Biden agreeing to limit those payments to people making up to $75,000 a year. People making up to $80,000 would get a smaller check. And today, Democratic leaders offered up another concession, proposing to extend unemployment benefits through September, but to shrink the payments from $400 a week to $300. That's a bitter pill for Karen Smith, a mom in Jupiter, Florida, who lost her job at the beginning of the pandemic.
Reducing that weekly amount is just horrible. We have gone so long with so little, and it is so hard to work towards stabilizing and getting it all together when all you can do is panic about how you're going to pay your bills.
And tonight we are learning President Joe Biden is working the phones trying to get this bill across the finish line. The major holdup is a moderate senator from his own party, Joe Manchin. He's still not on board with this package, but lawmakers are racing against a deadline in just 9 days. Unemployment benefits for millions of Americans are set to expire. Democrats want to get this bill on President Joe Biden's desk before then. David?
And they can't lose even one Democratic senator on this. Rachel, thank you. And there's also news at this hour on embattled New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Some state lawmakers tonight moving to strip him of his emergency powers granted during the pandemic. Here's Stephanie Ramos.
He promoted himself as the face of competent leadership in the pandemic.
We are New York tough.
But tonight, the New York State Legislature voting to strip Governor Andrew Cuomo of the emergency powers he was granted to handle COVID.
This governor's inability to see outside of his own ego cannot continue to go unchecked.
It came as the New York Times reported the governor's staff rewrote a report in June, taking out the fact that more than 9,000 New Yorkers had already died in nursing homes. Today, the governor's office said the number was removed because it had not been verified. It's just one of the scandals Cuomo is facing. Two former aides now accusing him of sexual harassment.
He is a textbook abuser.
Charlotte Bennett says the governor asked her about her sex life, whether she was monogamous, and whether she had ever slept with an older man. She spoke with CBS News.
He wanted a girlfriend. When he said he was lonely, I mentioned that his daughters had been around, and he also rejected that and said, yeah, I love my daughters, but I want a girlfriend. I thought, he's trying to sleep with me. The governor's trying to sleep with me. And I'm deeply uncomfortable, and I have to get out of this room as soon as possible.
Cuomo says Bennett misinterpreted him.
I now understand that I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. It was unintentional, and I truly and deeply apologize for it.
And David, Charlotte Bennett says it's not a matter of how she felt, but of what he did. She says, quote, it is an issue of his actions. The fact is that he was sexually harassing me and has not apologized for that. David.
All right, Stephanie Ramos. Steph, thank you. And we're going to turn next here tonight to the investigation into the deadly attack on the Capitol. Tonight, news of an arrest. A former Trump appointee from the State Department now facing charges. The FBI arresting Federico Klein, accusing him of storming the Capitol and attacking police officers. Authorities receiving tips identifying Klein in images released from the January 6th assault. Klein had resigned his post at the State Department just the day before the inauguration. Overseas tonight, the U.S. forces in Iraq. We reported this week on that missile attack on a base with forces. Tonight, our Martha Raddatz one-on-one with Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin.
This week, we saw a second significant attack with those 10 rockets. Do you know who did it? And what kind of responses might we expect?
We want to make sure that, again, we understand who's responsible for this. The message to those that would carry out such an attack is that, you know, expect us to do what's necessary to defend ourselves. We'll strike if that's what we think we need to do at a time and place of our own choosing.
Has Iran been given the message that this is not an escalation when we retaliate?
I think Iran is fully capable of assessing, the strike and the our activities, and they'll draw their own conclusions. But what they should draw from this, again, is that we're going to defend our troops, and we're going to, our response will be thoughtful. It will be appropriate.
The one-on-one with Martha. So let's bring in Martha Raddatz tonight. And this is a delicate balance for the Biden administration. Obviously, they must defend U.S. troops just as they now try to restore the Iran nuclear deal.
Delicate is exactly the right word, David. These Iranian-backed militias not only want the U.S. out of the Middle East, there are some factions that don't want Iran to renegotiate the nuclear deal with the U.S. And the fear with these tit-for-tat attacks is that they escalate or that one side or the other overreacts. But Secretary Austin is keeping a close eye on all of that and trying to find exactly the right balance. David.
All right, Martha, thank you. And we should mention Martha's full one-on-one with Secretary Austin, his first broadcast interview Sunday morning right here on ABC's This Week. Meantime, Pope Francis is in Iraq tonight, moving forward with his historic trip amid these tensions. There is unprecedented security, and Ian Pannell is there again tonight.
Tonight, Pope Francis in Iraq amid unprecedented security. Francis forgoing his usual Pope mobile, instead protected by a huge cordon of heavily armed troops. Iraqis ignoring orders not to line the streets, instead coming out to cheer. I come as a pilgrim of peace, he said. He was taken by armored car to the church where ISIS suicide bombers killed 48 worshippers in 2010. During his three-day trip, he'll come here to the Christian town of Karakosh, once overrun by ISIS militants.
ISIS drove the Christians from this town and desecrated this ancient church, using it as a firing range.
Archbishop Ammar will greet the Pope. He was the first to re-enter the church after ISIS was pushed out. This is what he filmed. And this is what it looks like today.
The Holy Father, he will be the first person who will pray after the liberation of rebuilding the church.
Many will look to the Pope to deliver their prayers for peace and hope, but the scale of need here is immense.
So let's get right back to Ian Pannell reporting from Erbil, Iraq again tonight. And Ian, you showed us the unprecedented security for the Pope there today. What comes next during his visit?
Well, early tomorrow morning, he heads to the southern ancient city of Ur, which is believed to be the birthplace of Abraham, before then going on to meet one of the most important Islamic religious leaders in the world, Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani, ending up here in Erbil for a huge outdoor mass on Sunday. David?
All right, Ian Pannell from Erbil tonight. Ian, thank you. And next tonight, Prince Harry and Duchess Meghan, and the new headline is they break their silence. Why they turned down Oprah when she first asked for an interview, they're telling answer tonight. Here's James Longman.
Once celebrated as the future of Britain's monarchy, tonight Prince Harry and Duchess Meghan further widening the rift between the two families. In an upcoming interview with Oprah Winfrey, Meghan claims Palisades intervened when Winfrey asked her for an interview months before the 2018 wedding.
You turned me down nicely and said perhaps there will be another time when there's the right time. Mm-hmm. What is right about this time?
Well, so many things. We have the ability to make our own choices in a way that I couldn't have said yes to you then. That wasn't my choice to make.
Joining the royal family means not sharing opinions, but Meghan, it seems, found that too restricting.
It's really liberating to be able to have the right and the privilege in some ways to be able to say yes.
This new clip comes just as Buckingham Palace took an unprecedented step, opening an investigation into bullying claims against the Duchess.
It was definitely an intensely difficult working environment. People were in tears on a regular basis.
While Harry and Meghan won't be involved in the investigation, senior aides are expected to be questioned. Meghan's office has called the report a smear campaign.
Critics also asking if the palace is going to investigate the Duchess, why not also look into Prince Andrew, who faces even more serious allegations around his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein. Andrew has always denied any wrongdoing.
In another clip, Prince Harry acknowledging the challenges of leaving royal life.
It's been unbelievably tough for the two of us, but at least we had each other.
And James Longman with us tonight from London. James, Buckingham Palace obviously was aware this Oprah interview was coming for weeks. And then this week, the palace investigation into Meghan. I'm curious, is the press there in the UK asking about the timing of all this?
Yeah, David, it does feel like this investigation is in reaction to the Oprah interview. But a lot of people are also asking why this couple are speaking out now, especially with Prince Philip in the hospital. David?
Questions on both sides. James Longman tonight. James, thank you. When we come back here on a Friday night, the scare here in New York City amid the pandemic, the van and car careening into outdoor dining.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We turn next tonight to the alarming scene here in New York City. Police say a van collided with another car in Manhattan. The car then crashing into an outdoor dining area set up amid the pandemic. There are many of them. Luckily, there were no customers at the time, but there were people around the van jumping the curb, at least eight injured. Police say the van driver may have suffered a medical episode. There was a frightening scene today at a middle school in Oakland Park, Florida, when part of the roof collapsed there. The roof at the James S. Rickards Middle School coming down on top of the media center, which is under construction. Police using a drone and canine units to make sure no one was trapped. Several students and staff were taken to the hospital as a precaution. Finally tonight here, what she thought when she got the call. She said yes, and she's our person of the week. Tonight, the history made. The NFL announcing Maya Shaka, 38 years old from Virginia Beach, has become the first black female official in the league's history. Maya has been a college football official for years and for the XFL. And when not on the field, she is teaching.
I teach at-risk youth at home in Virginia Beach.
It gives those girls an opportunity to see, okay, I see my teacher can work with some people that don't look like her, and maybe that gives me an opportunity to work with some people that don't look like me also.
Tonight, Maya joins Sarah Thomas, who broke the NFL gender barrier as the first female official in 2015, the first woman to officiate the Super Bowl. And right here tonight, Maya.
Hi, David.
Telling us about the moment she got that call.
I'm so excited to be a member of the National Football League's officiating staff. I will always remember that day. My response was, I think I'm getting punked.
She wasn't. And tonight, Maya and her message.
As long as you put in the work and you have a strong work ethic and you strive for greatness and you strive to get better, that all your dreams and goals and aspirations will always come true.
We love it. We choose Maya Shaka, and we'll be looking for her on the field. Witt and Lindsay here this weekend, and I'll see you here on Monday. Good night.